the title of today's message is Even More. All right. Now, even if you're not a football fan, you know the answer to this question. What do you call a last-second play when the team is desperate and the quarterback drops back and he heaves a desperation pass because we've tried everything else? Here we go, last second, desperation pass. You call that a Hail Mary, sure. Some people say, I think that term started back in the 1930s out of Notre Dame. Most people think it originated in the mid-70s with Roger Staubach of the Dallas Cowboys. They were playing the Minnesota Vikings, last second play. He heaves it up, and Drew Pearson catches it. This is an NFL playoff game. But it really came, the Hail Mary concept, phrase, really came to the forefront of the American psyche. I think it was 1984. Boston College was playing Miami. Some of you remember this game. I was watching this game. Doug Flutie, who won the Heisman Trophy that year, 6 seconds to go in the game, got the ball at midfield, drops back, and he actually throws a 63-yard pass as time expired and wins the game. Now, I know a lot of folks, a lot of believers, who sort of approach prayer that way. It's like, when I've tried every available option, well, I guess I might as well pray. And so prayer is viewed more as a last resort rather than a first response. But today, we get to eavesdrop in on a little prayer from the Apostle Paul. And if you're going to eavesdrop on a prayer, Jesus and Paul are a couple of good folks. And today, you get to eavesdrop in and listen to Paul pray for specific Christians. And it's been recorded and written for us. And this is, folks, this is one of the most breathtaking prayers in all of the Bible. This is a beautiful section of Scripture out of Ephesians, and I believe it'll help you. All right, if you're taking notes, as I'm sure you all are, point number one would read as follows. Even more of God's fullness is yours for the asking, just for the asking. Out of Ephesians 3, verse 14, reads as follows. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. So he's letting us know, here I am, I'm approaching God, and I'm going to be approaching God on your behalf. Now, I have an outline for you today, but if you want a big overall outline to this section of Scripture, and actually, I think a pretty good outline in terms of your own prayer life, let me give you these three words. Approach, ask, adore. Paul approaches God. In other words, I realize I'm not just speaking to one of the guys, one of the girls here. Approach, and then he will ask, and then at the close of this message today, you're going to hear him just adore God and praise him for being able to do exceedingly, abundantly more than we can even ask or imagine. All right? Now, he says, first of all, pray for a powerful inner strengthening from the Holy Spirit. Pray for a powerful inner strengthening from the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He says, look, you can't program this. And if you want to help your child, if you want to help people you care about, you can't program this. You can't manipulate this. If someone's going to be strengthened, they need to be strengthened from the inside out. And that is something the Holy Spirit does. And I'm praying, he says, that you'll be strong from the inside out. And gang, don't we need this? Because it's so easy to get weak on the inside. People beat you up, and you listen to the wrong voices, and you're telling yourself, my past is too checkered. I don't have anything to offer God. I don't have any talent. I've tried and tried, and you look at my results compared to their results, and you beat yourself up mercilessly. And he says, I want you to be strong from the inside out so that you will see and sense who you are from God's viewpoint, from God's vantage point, through God's eyes. And he says, can you put the scripture back up? The scripture right before this one. There you go. So that Christ, he says, I'm praying that you'll have Holy Spirit power, get this, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, isn't that interesting? Christ dwells within us, but now he's praying Christ will dwell in your heart through faith. Why would he say that? He's saying, I want Jesus to become so real to you that his voice and his opinion and his perspective is more important than that person sitting beside you, than that person in your office, than that person maybe in your house. I want Jesus to become so real to you and his opinion more real and more important than any other. All right? Now, he continues to pray. The second thing he says is this. Pray that the immeasurable dimensions of God's love will become very, very personal. Everybody here knows that God loves you. You've heard it. But Paul says, I'm praying that you'll grasp it. I mean, you'll get it. I mean, it's one thing to hear that, you know, honey tastes sweet, and it's another thing to eat a biscuit with honey and know that it is sweet from experience. He says it like this. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love, that you will have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp just how, get this, just how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that, get this, that surpasses knowledge. And this is coming from the Apostle Paul, who's a big-time knowledge guy, who writes deep, profound, meticulous theology. But he says there's something that happens beyond what you can read in a book, beyond what you can have through a human interchange of teaching and understanding. When you grasp the incredible, focused, incalculable love of our amazing God for you, just how it can't be defined. Wasn't it Louis Armstrong who somebody said, can you define jazz? And he says, if I've got to define it, you ain't got it. How can you define the love of God? He says, it's higher, wider, deeper, and it's for you. And my friends, when we grasp it a little bit, you're never the same. You're just never the same. You're not so angry. You're not so self-focused. You're not so prickly and touchy. You're not so broken over somebody's criticism or judgment of you, because you are rooted and established. You have deep roots in the love of God for you. You hear him praying? He says, I can't program this. This has to come from the inside. And I'm praying for you that you'll have inner strengthening from the Holy Spirit. I'm praying for you that you'll grasp the incalculable love of God for you. And then thirdly, he says, I'm praying that you'll get a full dosage of God in your life. A full dosage, not a mild dose, a full dose. Notice he says that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. You know what he's saying. That you'll keep growing. You'll keep developing. Everybody in this room that's married, when you started 2017, you didn't look at each other and say, I tell you what, this year in our marriage, let's aim for a really mediocre, mundane year. Last year, we would have rated our marriage at a 7. I tell you what, this year, let's aim for like a 3.5, okay? Romantically, conversation-wise, let's have a blasé year, okay? No, nobody does that. And he's saying, when it comes to your walk with the Lord, I want you to be filled. My prayer is that you just keep growing and developing and you're filled with the fullness of God. Now, if you were to go down here to Galveston, go to the beach, and you take a bucket with you, you're looking out there at the ocean. You can't put that entire ocean in your bucket. But you can fill that bucket with the ocean. God is too big for me. But I want more and more of His presence. And I want to be more and more yielded to Him. Now, after hearing this prayer and hearing what we've read so far, praying for Holy Spirit power, grasping the incalculable love of God, being filled with the fullness of His presence, if you're not careful, you'll go, okay, that sounds really wonderful, but what does that look like? Does that mean that all of a sudden I'm able to walk on water, that I'm no longer tempted, that I become a super? May I read to you some descriptions of what it looks like for average, ordinary people like you and me to have Holy Spirit power and be filled with the fullness of God? If you have ever had the ability to forego instant gratification because you were living with eternity in mind, you've been filled with the power of God. If you've ever dealt and watched injustice and imperfection, but knowing and you keep moving forward, knowing that God is the ultimate just judge and He will set everything right. If you've been able to handle injustice, do what you can, and keep entrusting things to God, you've been filled with the power of God. If you've ever, out of your weakness, been able to help another person, not because you were strong and had a success story, but out of your brokenness and weakness, if God's ever used that to help another person, you've been filled with the power of God. If you've ever been in a situation where you thought, I don't know how God used me in this, but He did, and it was beyond what I even thought could happen, then the power of God has been upon you. If you've ever served God, even though you look in the mirror and you say, I have so many thorns in the flesh, you've experienced the fullness of Christ. If you've ever lived in circumstances that were less than ideal, and if you could push a button, you would change them all, but you're in those circumstances, but you still, in those circumstances, you still praise God, you still worship, you still find reasons to give thanks in all circumstances, you've been filled with the power of God. And the fullness of God is within you. And if you have a desire to see the gospel spread, and if you've ever gone out of your way to serve another person, in the name of Jesus Christ, the power of God is upon you and within you. Listen, without this, we wouldn't grow and become more and more like Christ. Without this, we wouldn't be motivated to serve others. Without this, we would never be content in less than ideal circumstances. I realize that what I've just described to you, it doesn't sound very flamboyant. It doesn't sound very flamboyant as evidences that the power of God is within you and upon you. Here's my challenge to you. Stop taking this for granted. Stop chalking it up to just good genes and cause and effect. This is the working of God within and among His people in beautiful and in seemingly ordinary ways. Thomas Schmidt has a book called A Scandalous Beauty. And in that book, he tells the story of Mabel. When Thomas Schmidt was in seminary, he decided to volunteer over at the county nursing home. He goes over on Mother's Day, and he's going to hand some flowers out to some of the older ladies there, and he sees a woman in a wheelchair, actually strapped in a wheelchair, at the end of the hallway. He walks up to her. It's obvious she's blind. She's wearing some hearing aids. About half of her face is deformed due to some illness. He didn't know if she even sensed that he was there. But he spoke to her, and he said, Happy Mother's Day. I would like to give you a flower. And he said, in very lucid words and with clear voice, she said, well, thank you, sir. I really appreciate this, but may I give it to someone else? As you can see, I'm blind, and so I can't really see the flower. It smells lovely, however. He said, that would be just fine. And she said, would you mind wheeling me down the hallway? So he does. They come into a group of people, and Mabel speaks up. A lady walks over, and he said, I would like to hand you this flower from a friend of mine. I'd like to hand you this flower from Jesus. And Thomas Schmidt said, at that moment, he stepped back and he said, I realize now I'm not dealing with an ordinary human being. He said, for the next 3 years, he visited Mabel almost every week and found out her story. She grew up in a small town, grew up on a farm, never married, lived with her mom for years. After her mom passed away, Mabel got sick, and she'd been actually in that nursing home for over 20 years. Schmidt said that 1 week, it was finals week. It was a hectic week for him. But he thought to himself, I wonder what Mabel, I wonder what she's thinking about. What does Mabel think about every day when the hours and the minutes drag on? And so that week, he asked her. He said, Mabel, what do you think about every day when you're here in the nursing home? And he got out his notebook and his pen. He wanted to write this down. And Mabel said, I think about Jesus. And he said, Mabel, I know you think about Jesus, but, like, what do you think about when you think about Jesus? And she said, I think about, and this is a quote, I think about how good he's been to me. He's been awfully good to me in my life, you know. He's all the world to me. And then Thomas Schmidt said, Mabel started to sing that song, Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. Schmidt says in his book, this is not fiction. What I've just described to you, this is not fiction. As incredible as it may seem, a human being really lived like that. I know. I knew her. I watched her for 3 years. And how could little old Mabel do it? The answer is, Mabel had inner power. Because Christ was very real to her. And I pray that for you. And I pray that for me. That we live with that kind of power regardless of what life brings. Some of you have an amazing ability to miss many beautiful things going on around you and see only distasteful things. And maybe it's time for you to say, Lord, forgive me for letting the negative take over, for missing so many of the beautiful gifts and the beautiful opportunities that you put into every single one of my days. Help me to see that beauty. Help me to see that positive. Help me to see your mercies new every morning and to know that every single day is full of God sightings. Now, before he finishes, Paul breaks out in a word of praise, reminding us that God is even more eager to give than we are to ask. Listen to this breathtaking doxology. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Can you go back to verse 20 on the screen? God's not just able, he's super able to do immeasurably more. Incalculable love, immeasurably more power. And here's my challenge to all of us as believers today. Never, ever limit God. Never limit him. Don't say no for God. I'm not saying that whatever you ask, he will always do. Sometimes he will say no. Sometimes he will say not yet. Sometimes he won't say way. Sometimes he might never explain himself. But here's our challenge. We let God, in his sovereign wisdom and power, determine when he says yes and when he says no. And I'm not going to say no for him. I'm not, in my unbelief, going to just say, what's the use? I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to step out there. We serve a great God who's able to do more than we can even ask or imagine. So don't you set the limits. You ask with boldness. You ask in faith. And then you let God be the one who determines when he says yes, when he says no, when he says wait. He's that good and that focused to us. All right? Now, as I wind this down, for some of you here today, it's time you have that DTR conversation. And you know what I mean when I say a DTR conversation. Define the relationship conversation. Martha and I celebrated a little anniversary this week. We had our first date, 40 years ago. And we had been married 40 years. And you say, hey, Ronnie, that's pretty good that you remembered that. Well, confession, I didn't, but I was reminded of it. And so 40 years ago, we had our first date. And obviously, it went fairly well because we had a second date, and five grandchildren later, here we are. But there came a point, we started dating, and then you have, several of those DTR conversations. You define the relationship. So we've been dating a while, and then it's like, okay, are we gonna start going steady? All right, are we gonna go steady now? Well, yes, we're going to start going steady. Well, great, because I don't want to see those two other guys hanging around your dorm anymore. So now we're going to be going steady. And then there comes a point where you get in. All along the way, you have these define the relationship conversations. Some of you, it's time for you to have that conversation today with the living God, because here's what you've been doing. You've been like an airplane circling the airport for a long, 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 long time. And it's time for you to land that plane. It's time for you to cross the line in faith and repentance and baptism, or it's time for you to get engaged with a local church, hopefully this one, and say, I am part of the team. That's my challenge to you today. Have that DTR conversation and land that plane. Okay, so what are you going to do with the love of God? If you accept it, you have life abundantly and life eternal. If you reject it, you'll be eternally lost. And there are people who do love this world more than they love God. But his love, it has four dimensions. How wide is his love? It's to all who believe. How long is his love? Throughout eternity. How high is his love? High enough to seat us in the heavenlies. And how deep is his love? As Corrie ten Boom says, there is no pit so deep where God's love is not deeper still.